Hello and welcome to this week's You May or May Not Like It DC Rebirth Edition. And before you fucking ask again, yes, that's what we're calling it. That's what we've always called it. So zip it. Snap. The lip it.
I was thinking that.
I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorcinX. I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. And oh my god, Joe is back. So this is DC Rebirth Week 8. We have the number 0 of the Red Hood and the Outlaws. We have the official number 1 of Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns. And we also have the number 1 of Nightwing, the number 1 of Titans, and the number 1 of Batgirl. We will discuss them in that order because that's what I'm staring at. Red Hood and the Outlaws. Go.
Yeah, so anyways, the whole number 0, number 1, one shot, all of that stuff. Basically, the easiest way that we found out to categorize or know it by looking at it is it will have a giant rebirth underneath the title if it is the one shot. So just
meanwhile, it took us 2 months, so all of you smart people out there probably knew
you
that.
You might have already known that, and awesome. So there.
Anyway, Red Hood, number 1, number 0, whatever. I've got notes and they're over there because whatever. So this is
Jason Todd.
That's what I thought. Jason Todd, and he's, you know, broken away from the whole Batman thing, and he's out on his own. He's undercover. He's trying to take down... Well, you got
stuff
notes
and things.
You just read it. You go.
Well, he's trying to basically just like infiltrate the underground of Gotham.
Correct.
Yeah, that's that's basically the gist of it. But Batman was unaware of his plans initially in this book.
Right.
So Batman thinks that this guy's going after the mayor and trying to do stuff and things that are underhanded. But in all actuality, he's using like tranquilizer rounds and blobbity-blobbity, and he...
And an antidote gun.
Right, and he ends up blasting the mayor with an antidote for, like, nanobots or whatever. He was, like, had some kind of nano...
Biotechnology.
There you
basically.
Go.
Basically.
That's what I'm
that they
grasping
have
for.
Poisoned him with.
Yeah.
Right.
So he made it look, in order to get in good with the underground of Gotham, he made it look like he was going to kill the mayor and he shot all these other guys, but really all he did was knock those guys out and help the mayor,
right,
unbeknownst to the mayor. But now he's like hanging out in kind of what feels like the mercenary bar that Deadpool hangs out
right,
in.
Right, yeah.
Almost yeah, like, oh, yeah, I got man. That feel.
You know what? The best. They called it something too, and I didn't write that down.
Oh,
shame
real
on me.
Nice. Tweet shame it and hashtag Mike sucks.
Yep.
Overall,
they give a pretty good quick recap on Jason Todd.
They do. They very well do that. And
this is one of the better, like, and like we said, you said, all you need, all they put in here, like 3 pages, maybe half a dozen panels a page, not even, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Done perfectly. Like,
it was
here it
very
is.
Well.
They're awesome. That awesome page with the Joker where he's like going to town, that was awesome.
Right.
Actually, yeah. I really thought this book is pretty high up there for me. Right.
Well, yeah. Well, this goes back to, you know, where you find out, I shouldn't say find out, but this goes based on the Joker was, you know, the Red Hood, the failed comedian
right.
storyline. And
which goes right into what we just saw.
Right. Which was the Killing Joke.
Dig it.
Which mm-hmm. you can find the review of on reviewandrose.com.
/killing joke/review/
Scott's the best.
Find it on Facebook. It's on there.
Yeah.
Scott wrote a pretty nifty review.
I did. I was actually pretty proud of that one. Unlike the rest of them where I just go, this was cool.
The best.
But yeah, and of course, it's kind of annoying because it's an issue zero. It has nothing to do with any of the other books that are out there, even though Batman appears in, I'd say, 50%.
Batman is in yet again another Rebirth
yeah.
book.
He's in 50% of the books, and they're all none of
for,
them
for being all about Wally West and Barry Allen, Batman's sort of
in a lot
stealing the show here.
Right. He's got the most cameos.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He's definitely making money.
But that's, I think, part of their problem is they focus too much on him and Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And they really need to take their other characters and just run with them.
I think what they're doing sort
They don't need the assistance with, that they seem to think they do.
Well, Batman is sort of the I hate to compare him to Reed Richards, but like in Marvel, everyone goes to Reed Richards, kind of.
Really?
You know what, oh, yeah. Like, he's like the go-to, with the whole, like, Civil War thing and all that. He's sort of like the answer man, which Batman seems to be.
Yeah, but see, I see when, okay, when it's related to the Batman universe, I totally understand. Red Hood, Nightwing, you know, Batgirl, things like that are tied to it. But when he's involved in things that aren't, that he's not so tied to, they just bring him in because he's Batman.
Yeah, but he's... I'm not into that. That's the problem is he's legit almost... I mean, any character in the DC universe at this point in time, he's almost...
Trained
like,
them all.
Yeah, it's like Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever that game is. I mean, every single character... I mean, if you were to say Superman, Wonder Woman, any of those, any he's in the Justice League. He's trained half the Titans. He's trained half the bad guys at this point. Crying out loud.
Well, you got to figure, you know, between Robin and Nightwing and all the different, you know.
Yeah, now you got Red Hood.
You know, Jason Todd, you got Damian, you got...
Tim Drake,
Nightwing.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now.
Dick Grayson.
Yes.
The main guy.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and I understand he's been a big part of it, but, like, can we usher in the new generation a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I agree.
But overall, this, again, being an issue zero, it's not going to have anything to do with the number one when that comes out in two weeks.
Well, I feel like this one might set it up a little better than the other ones so far. You know, I thought Batgirl and the Birds of Prey was actually a pretty good, let's just call it a setup book. You know, that was an issue zero that we reviewed.
Did that... Well, we'll get to that.
We will.
But, so, overall feelings of the Red Hood, stop flipping pages.
Is it loud?
Yeah. Was, you know, it's a good zero. It's a good backing for the character, Red Hood, Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we number?
I'm in the... This is one of the higher ones in the last couple of weeks for me. I'm probably like an 8.5 just because I'm like highly interested in this story. And I'm kind of digging the fact that it's sort of along, you know, like Nightwing's going covert, which we're going to get to, so...
Right, which we will. But yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. I'll go 8 just to be different.
Dig it.
I was actually into it when I thought it was going to work out as him being some kind of like anti-hero that doesn't really care so much about, like, you know, shooting people and whatnot. And then when I realized what it was, I was kind of disappointed. I'm actually going to get...
He can't kill cops.
He
even Deadpool doesn't kill
Joe
cops.
Joe wants him to be a villain. Yeah. He doesn't want him to be...
Well, no, I mean, I think he's going to do some underhanded shite, but...
No, Batman already told him you can't kill, and no jokes in the Batcave.
There is... that's a fact. No jokes in
Flash
the Batcave.
Flash fact.
Flash fact. Anyways.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was going to be something else, and then it didn't turn out to be what I thought it was going to be. And at that point, I was just kind of, I'm actually going to give it a 6.5.
Oh, look at this guy.
All right.
Joe's here, ladies and gentlemen.
There you have it. Moving on to our official number one of
Hell. Side note, I did like the art in that Red Hood, too. I try to...
Oh, the art was really
that
good.
That was actually done pretty well.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Oh, I think the art in all of them I thought was good.
And so to the official Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, this one, I'm actually a little surprised. It really kind of did pick up right where the Zero issue left off. Which,
and I actually loved this one.
It was super. Like, I felt...
It was
right
after the Zero.
Because we just did the Zero... Well, we just
legit.
Did it last week.
Yeah.
But that's because we lumped it together with... You know, the last 2 weeks, but that one, it was good, but it was really short, I felt. This one, I overall, leaps and bounds. You know, it's more what
this
I expected.
This is way better.
Green
I don't
Lantern
know what
book.
I gave the last one. I think I didn't.
I think you gave it a 4.
No, we both gave it 6s.
That's
actually
fine. I was just kidding, but.
The Hal Jordan.
If people want to know what we gave it, they can go back and listen.
They could, or they can ask me. Wait, what? Anyway. Mike at Review and Roast. Anyways, yeah, I did think that this one actually, you know, we didn't not like the last one. We potato chips over there, guy. We did not like the last one. It was just kind of, you know, your vague one shot that they've been pumping out, and all of a sudden, this one actually did pick up. So it actually made the one shot better, really. You know, unfortunately, it's too late. We already talked about it, but this is, I kind of think, what we were hoping for last week when we were discussing the Hal Jordan Rebirth number one.
All right, well, okay, quick little recap. The Zero issue is basically a narrative from Hal Jordan basically saying that the Green Lantern Corps have all but disappeared. And at the same time, you have Sinestro moving in. What was it? Terror World or something?
War World.
Yeah, War World. Terrible name. But right. He moves it in place of where Oa was because Oa is now gone.
Correct.
And then now in this issue, it picks up where the planet's settled. They're getting their shit together. And they're trying to basically move into the universe as the new law and order. And they're going to rule by fear and blah, blah, blah.
And Sinestro in the last issue he's feeble. This war is taking a toll. He's in, you know, on his way out, basically, and
well, now he starts looking out this one the same way,
right? Yeah, and now he's looking to rebuild his power,
right? So there's talk about giving it off to his daughter and having her take over. I mean,
well, she
it's all explained in there. I don't want to give too
name?
Much out of it.
Sorenik,
yeah,
is what her name is, and she basically is the heir apparent as far as she's concerned,
right? But she's also planning on running it completely different because she doesn't like the way that
which
Sinestro
almost seems like
it.
She should have been a different lantern.
A different color, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like she seems to have a head on her shoulders.
That might be her plan.
Never know.
But well, I mean, I did look through the book. Sinestro had a head every single panel.
He did. So, anyways, I think that sub story is actually going to work out pretty well, in my opinion.
See, I have a different perspective because of the fact that I have not read the other one. I'm solely going off of this particular book itself. And I didn't really get into it. I do have to be honest, I've never been a huge Green Lantern guy. So going into this, you know, I kept an open mind if the story was good or it was something that caught me or, you know, spoke to me in some way, I would have been more interested, but it just didn't. I wasn't too big into this one.
Yeah, if you go back, and again, this will be a little too late, but
like you said, but
take a
we're
look at
doing
the other
it.
One, you might figure out where you're at.
Yeah, but I mean, we're doing these number ones now, so we're doing it in the context of this particular book.
No, yeah, that's good.
So, you know, so in some ways, maybe it is good that you have someone on that hasn't read that other one, I guess.
I did like the art again.
Oh, I like I said, the art all the way through on all the books we're doing today.
And
I
do like Sinestro's basic plan is order through fear. So basically, he wants to basically control the citizens by scaring the shit out of them.
Basically, he wants to basically do that.
Did I say basically? Twice?
You did. Yeah, and this one, you know, like I said, picks up where the Zero left off. You find out a lot of cool stuff, and most importantly, you actually do find out what happened to the rest of the Green Lantern Corps, which I really liked, even though it was the little ending. But
yeah. No, it's kind of. It seems like this one's going to keep moving on in a more sensical fashion than some of the other ones.
Oh, yeah. Green Lantern does have a way better fashion sense.
For sure. Well, I'm in the 7.5 range. It's creeping back up for me.
I'm going to stick with 8.
Dig it.
This one is a 4.5.
Oh,
nailed it.
Learning curve.
All right. Next, we have the official Nightwing number 1.
Right, which I seem to notice that there was much less buzz for this one just like the Titans. Like when Titans Rebirth and Nightwing Rebirth, i.e. the one-shots, came out, everyone was like, ooh, finally. And now the actual number ones are out, and people are like, oh, thought that was 2 weeks ago. So right. Kind of, again, kind of a little bit of a different thing. I actually, again, thought this book was better than the actual issue zero or one shot, but that's just me.
I actually agree with that. This one is, you know, Dick Grayson, and he is... Now, this is the one thing I do want to mention, like the parallels between this and the Red Hood. It's basically two former Batman, like, you know, trainees who are now both undercover in some kind of criminal enterprise.
Right.
You know, it's just like...
But Nightwing's...
Did you guys, like, sit next to each other in class?
But Nightwing's reasoning is a smidge different because...
He's kind of being extorted into
it. Yeah, see, and you didn't see the last one where basically Damian had some other biotech implanted in him that they could kill him at any point in time, so they made him part of Spiral, blah, 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 and now he's infiltrating the Parliament of Owls.
Right.
Not to be confused with the Court of Owls.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or any other Owls.
They do reference him kind of, you know, being held against his will.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah, and he tells that, and he makes a mention that they don't know that he already thwarted that. So,
yeah, he already took care of Damian. Right. I believe that implant or whatever has been disabled or taken out. So, they don't have that card to play anymore. But he lets them think they do, and he goes about his. You know, he's still trying to get deeper in so that he can take him down.
I did have two small problems with this book. The one problem was actually also the good thing was I like the snarkiness and banter he provides at times, but that's also my problem with the book. It's like, all right, don't try too hard. You know what I mean? Like everything's, I'm not saying he makes jokes of everything, but it's like, I feel like the writing is good, but don't overdo it. You know what I mean? Like they just kept at it and yeah, we get it. He said something funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but I did like Batgirl in there for a minute, too. When he meets her on the bridge, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Oh, it's not a date?
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I
like he's going to go off on a secret mission. He wants to talk to Babs for a minute. Blah, blah, blah. So, dig that. And then the Parliament, they tell Nightwing that he's basically, they're giving him a partner who is this Raptor character.
Yeah. That's right.
And again,
he's not such a nice guy.
Right. Dick Grayson takes it lightly. Like he's been taking everything. Like he's the new Deadpool for
untouchable.
Some reason. Yeah. So everything's a joke to him. And then basically Raptor hands him his ass.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And tells him that Batman's dumb, which I actually kind of thought was funny.
Out of...
By the way, your mentor is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't he mention something at the end that no one else is supposed to know? Like, yeah, I know this too, kind of thing?
No, not really. It was just that he knew that his mentor was Batman. You can double check.
Nah.
Check me on that. Nah. But, and that basically he's going to become his new trainor.
Yeah. Yeah, get up in there. Honestly, out of the books that we're doing today, this was one of the better ones, I thought, personally. I enjoyed the story more. You kind of learn where he's going with this earlier than you do, say, like in the Red Hood, like where you find out at the end what's really going on, where this kind of comes out a little earlier in the story. So you kind of understand where he's going with this. And so the story makes a little more sense to you right away, where the other one is kind of like, I know they went for the whole twist and the plot thing, but I don't know. It just kind of misled me into believing I was going to get something that I ended
right,
up
not
getting.
Right, and I'm no Red Hood or Nightwing expert anyway.
No, so. I myself am not either, but I did find this to be an enjoyable read.
Yeah, and once again, digging the art.
Oh, yeah.
Some pretty nifty panels in there.
Yeah.
Not as good as... I think the Red Hood was, out of this week, the best artistry, I think.
It was very good.
And mostly just because of that Joker panel is just badass.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Joker panel was pretty sick. But I am in the 8.5 range on this one as well. It's pretty high up there. Nightwing and Red Hood are quickly becoming two of my up there for me.
Yeah, I like the whole Parliament of Owls angle that they're working here, and I'm a, I dig what's happening. So I'll why not just go with 8 again?
8.
8's across the board for me.
I'm actually going 7 on this one.
7 for the one Joe really, really liked, ladies and gentlemen. So that's his curve. Moving on.
All right, moving on. Moving on, the official number one of Titans.
Are you liking the Titans more than you liked them last time?
Yes and no, and I'll get there. Well, initially, off the bat, like I feel like the first straight-up Rebirth book...
Oh, no, I didn't write our numbers down for the original Titans one-shot.
Oh, looks like you need to go listen to it.
Oh, no.
I feel like the first Flash book, I feel like the first Titans, I feel like the initial Rebirth book all keep telling the same... The first couple of pages are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of getting annoying. If you don't
this
know...
One this one did that.
I know it did. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It kind of gets annoying.
Yeah.
But after they go through it and What's-Her-Face tries to, like, read his mind Lilith. And... Yes. And right. then, well, what's her...
Omen.
Boom. See, you're on the ball.
I didn't even look at the notes. You saw me. I was dead in your eyes.
Dead
there.
To rights.
Yeah.
It's new.
What?
So, yeah. Yeah. Outside of the initial couple of pages when they finally start getting into it and it's like, hey, let's go investigate this and let's go look at this and let's go talk to these guys. Who's the Green Arrow or the Red Arrow?
Roy Harper, Arsenal.
Boom. I dig that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of cool. Good.
He's kind of snarky, as you would
put
it.
Yeah, but in a less... Well, see, this is a team book, so it's everyone is not as featured, so you don't have to listen to the same guy talking the whole time.
Right, right.
You know, so it's kind of... The smaller doses works out pretty well in this one.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of the first couple of pages, maybe?
Yeah, maybe panels, like two pages.
You know, it's like, you can stop with that part of the story now. We get it.
Right.
You know?
They do. I think they get right into the whole Lilith trying to basically pull some memories from Wally's mind, but he's too buried. He's got Linda on the brain at this point in time, and that's a problem.
Yes.
But after that, I believe Donna and Arsenal go on a quick mission for some hitting the streets, as they say on the Green Arrow show. And I don't remember if Gareth was with them or not. I don't think so. I think it was just...
You mean Garth?
Garth. Gareth. Why do you keep saying that?
You watching too much of The British Office then?
Yeah, apparently. I know Donna and Roy ran out to, go question some people, blah, blah, blah. So I don't remember if Garth went with them or not. But who cares? He's there. They have a pizza party, which I thought was actually hilarious.
Pizza party?
Pizza party. Don't turn me up when I do that.
I didn't.
Yeah. Ugh, I just went up. Like, what?
What?
Anyways.
This is getting gross.
Yeah. So, I wrote Garth down in my notes, and I still called him Gareth, like an idiot.
You know what I really think is weird? And, like, I know I've said before, one of the things that kind of is, like, I wish they would all tie together just at least a little bit, because it's, supposed to, from what I understand, is I don't understand why pretty much every single book has Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman fighting over Snickers. Like, why is that part of the story?
Every time. Every time.
Oh, I get through half the page every time before I'm like, God damn it!
Actually, this one, I noticed that the ads are getting to be one-page ads on a couple of them.
Yeah, but they're still the two-page Suicide Squad splashes.
Yeah, those ones now. Well, they got to. We only got a couple of more days.
Yeah, because nobody knows it fucking comes
out. Best movie of the summer coming.
Fucking better be.
I think it's going to be.
Now, this is, out of all the books that we are doing, this is the one I like the least.
Really?
I could not stand it. I don't know. I'm an old dude.
Sounds like me when we read the first one.
You're the new Scott.
I'm an old guy. You know what I'm saying? It was just way too emo for me. It was just, I don't know, just...
Yeah, but the whole,
oh, the world is twisted. I'm still my lost love, like...
Yeah, but you read the original. Maybe, the Rebirth boot up, didn't you?
No, not the, where, the zero of this?
No, no, no. Not of not the Titans Zero, the Rebirth one shot. There was like that Rebirth where Wally was trapped in the Speed Force.
No.
Because that's basically, just quick recap, basically the whole reason for like Rebirth, and I'm doing air quotes Rebirth here, is that Wally was trapped in the Speed Force and doesn't know where he is, and when he finally comes back out, nobody, like, it was a world without him, let's just say. And that's what basically sort of changed everything. And during that time, he had gone to, he went to Batman. You know how in Batman vs. Superman, you see the Flash come when he's sleeping or whatever? So he does that to Batman. He does that to Linda Park, who is, you know, his girlfriend or whatever. And she doesn't recognize him. That was the whole, like, so that, like, devastated him. So that's kind of like why it's slightly emo. So I get where you're at, but like, having not known that, it just seems like, oh, he's just getting in.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, just like, I'm not into that. That's just that whole emo love story thing. Like, I'm not really, that's not my thing, you know?
Well, that's his, like, soul. Like, see, that's like one of Wally's, call it motivations, you know what I mean? So it's sort of,
I mean, you're almost stuck with it. It's, you know, it's just my perspective of the book, you know. But yeah, I thought it was just way too emo and I like where it's going, and I like
there's actually a team story. See, like the Justice League, Scott and I have huge problems with, because there's all this shit going on in there, and it has nothing to do with any of the other solo books. So like, you have the Justice League, and you know all the characters, Aquaman, blah blah, whatever. And, you know, the world's being destroyed. Literally, cities are being demolished. And then you go back to, like, Aquaman number 3, and it's like business as usual. Like, we're just trying to make that deals. So that's annoying. See, like, one of the reasons I like the Titans is Titans, not that they're completely tied into everything else, but they're not separated from everything else either. Yeah. And they're going to have to be tied in, because this whole thing is going to focus on Wally at some point in time, at least to some degree. And then at the end, we're given the new, let's just say, villain, Abracadabra, which is
better than his, like him.
It's better than his original name, Hocus Pocus. So that's kind
of... I did like him.
Yeah, he seems to be pretty cool. And he reveals the fact that he's the one that disappeared Wally West in the first place, which is kind of a humongous thing.
Yeah, and I like that it's...
And the art on him was actually... He looked pretty badass in that last page.
Yeah, and again, I like it that it's not like the Joker or Lex Luthor or...
No, yeah, totally.
It's totally somebody who most people probably aren't too aware of, which
I
like.
You know, a lot of the villains have been slightly new. I mean, you haven't... I mean, we're going to get into some more books in the upcoming weeks, but a lot of the villains are semi-fresh, I would say.
That's what I like.
You know, so far. Like I said, I mean, nobody hates the Joker. It's just, yeah, we get it.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't need to see Doomsday again. Just in Snickers commercials. That's enough for me.
And there's one in every book.
No shortage. Sweet. No shortage. So right. I'm in the... I'm going to give this one an 8. I did like it. I liked everything this week, honestly. Actually, we're getting to my least favorite, but continue. Where you at, Scott? Talk to me.
Oh.
Talk to me, Goose.
Waiting for Joe. I don't know why. Mm. I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'll just stick with my 8s for this week.
I dig it.
I mean, I really like the introduction of the whole Abracadabra.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's a point and a half for me.
Yeah.
Art at the end.
Art and Abracadabra are what even let me score it this high, and that's a 3.5.
Jesus.
I did not like it.
This guy's killing our averages this week.
Yeah, but I think we have weird opinions, like differing opinions on things. Because you said we're about to come up to your least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're actually about to come up to my most favorite.
Ugh, disgusting.
All right, last one on the agenda for the week is Batgirl number 1. Now, I don't remember too much on the Zero, but
there
did
was
she...
No Zero.
There was the Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Right, but there's actually going to be Batgirl and Birds of Prey number 1.
Oh, so this is a Zero?
This is not a zero, though. This is just a number one. There is no one shot for Batgirl. I think
just straight in.
This is okay. When we talked about Batgirl and the Birds of Prey rebirth, zero, whatever you one shot, whatever you want to call it. Remember, there was an asterisk that said, "Hey, in 2 weeks, find out what happened," and I was all pissed off.
Yeah.
So they made a book, Joe, Batgirl and Birds of Prey. And for those of you that didn't listen to the last podcast, that should have. They reference a book that comes out with an asterisk that says, "Oh, we're referencing something that hasn't even happened yet, because in 2 weeks this book's going to be out, so you should read that." It's like, dude, why would you? You're referencing the future. You know what I mean? So, you know, just, I don't know. It was kind of annoying, and I don't even remember what the asterisk was about. I might have written it down.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just wrote down that note for 2 week Batgirl number one. So. Yeah, kind of annoying. But other than that, I mean, this book was, I mean, it was all right. It didn't do it for me as much as I wanted it to. But, and honestly, I found the art in this book to be the weakest of the five, let's just say. It's more cartoony to me. It's almost, I'm not up on the artists and writers. You know, Brian's the guy that remembers everybody's names. But this one reminded me almost of new Superman art, kind of like that more sketchy cartoony.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I like sharp lines and dark and bright colors.
I like sharp lines and... Never mind. All right, so this one starts out, we have Barbara Gordon
In Japan.
Yeah, I don't know if she's on vacation. She just more or less said, "I need to get away."
She's, like, backpacking through Asia.
That's what she says. She's on a soul search. There's got to be... I'm thinking there's more to it than that.
Well, she does make mention that she's looking for that that old vigilante from Japan. The correct. Fruit bat.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's still alive and 104 years old.
Correct.
And still awesome.
I forget her real name, but it was Fruit Bat. One.
Yashimoto. Mrs. Yashimoto, I think.
Don't just start saying Japanese stuff.
It's not Japanese. Pretty
sure Yashimoto's Japanese.
And here's the thing. She's in Japan. She's starting this little backpacking trip, whatever it is. And she's also, you know, a reporter. So she wants to interview the fruit bat while she's still alive to, you know, kind of, because she's still a reporter too, apparently. You know?
Right. And it's kind of like a semi-idol of hers at this point in time because she's done her research on her and found out this chick was kicking ass back in the 40s.
You're right. Yamashiro. I was wrong.
Yeah. Yoshi's the guy from Mario. Anywho. Moving on. So, yeah, I just... One of the main problems I had with this was that she ends up, like, checking into some hostel, and it just so happens that the guy that already checked into the room is, like, an old friend of hers that's gotten himself mixed into some things and... Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, I agree. That's the only issue I had like, with
dude,
it.
Was like, really, you just landed in a hostel in the middle of Japan, which isn't known for their hostels as far as I know. I haven't been there. And your guy, Kai, is mixed up in some stuff that has some schoolgirl-looking Japanese chick, which, dig that, who doesn't, kicking the shit out of him, asking him for stuff.
Formula.
Yeah, and he doesn't even speak Japanese.
Yeah, it doesn't really...
Which was actually kind of funny a couple times, because people are, like, talking, because in red is Japanese. I don't know if you picked that up.
Duh.
Yeah.
What was the other one where everything's Mandarin? Oh, new Superman.
Yeah.
Hey, if it's blue, it's English. Thanks, professors. Anywho. Kai keeps saying, "I don't speak Japanese." It actually...
But he's also like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Was... I don't have the formula. Wait, I don't speak Japanese."
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was... I did find that a little... humorous, so I didn't hate it. I just hated the whole coincidental here we are, you know? Right. And then going for drinks and octopus.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny.
Yeah, it was.
It had its moments.
Like I said, didn't hate it, just didn't love it. I mean, it was just a little... They could have just had them meet at the park or something.
Like Joe was saying, the fruit bat's still awesome.
Oh, yeah,
even
no,
though she's 104.
Yeah,
to me, there was a couple things that I thought were a little cheesy.
Hey, crack that
there
book
was
back
there
open.
Was a moment mm-hmm. for
crack open Batgirl again.
There was a moment for like you know, suspended disbelief and things like that. Yeah, I definitely will admit that. You know,
that was long.
I know
it does have its moments of cheese.
Yeah,
you know
for sure. Well, let me get back to it because there's that part where he actually, right there it is. Like, she's legit sitting there. I'm trying to see. They never even, yeah, see, they do show her feet at one point in time. But basically, they're all hanging out at that festival.
The parade.
The parade of whatever it is. Oh, Issa Dance Parade. The 10,000 Issa Dance Parade in Scion Square. Anywho, she meets a fruit bat, blah, blah, whatever. And then the schoolgirl comes to beat up Kai. But then all of a sudden, she's in her Batgirl outfit. Full head to toe with the ears.
I had the same issue with Titans.
And the big yellow boots.
There was a panel or two like that in Titans as well.
Was there?
Where the, you know, person standing there in like jeans and a t-shirt, and then the very next panel, she's like in her fucking outfit.
Yeah, see, at least when Nightwing did it, they actually showed him putting his gloves on, you know, getting down to business. But this one, she's legit got time to put on a Batgirl outfit. I mean, at that point in time, if you're just trying to save your friend, I think Barbara Gordon just throws a punch, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, like I said, I'm Batgirl and I'm in Japan. Well, yeah, no duck high thinks you're Batgirl now, stupid. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Right, yeah. Wait, how come she showed up when you left? Yeah,
why would you think I'm Batgirl? Well, because we're in Japan. You're the only other American from Gotham.
Yeah.
Like, well, duh, I mean, you're...
There could be more.
Yeah, I guess. No. But I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
Like, yeah, that's pretty much obvious. But like I said, there are moments where it's kind of like suspense of disbelief and... You know, there's a couple of cheesy things in there, but
yeah, we'll see. I'm not giving up on it or nothing. I'm
no,
just,
no, no.
I just don't think it no. was. It was definitely the weakest of the five.
I did enjoy the story. I thought it was interesting. I'm kind of curious to see where things go. You know, there's definitely something going on with this schoolgirl that keeps attacking people looking for formula.
Now
they want to travel to Singapore, so...
See, and you didn't check out Birds of Prey yet, which we'll get to that. We'll let you take a look at it, because it's actually... I mean, if you like this one, I think you're going to like Birds of Prey even more. But I don't know, Scott, what do you think? Like, is Batgirl and Batgirl Birds of Prey going to be completely separate?
I hate to say that, but it seems like that way.
Right? I mean, she's in Japan right now, but over here, she's working the underground with Black Canary, and now the Huntress and stuff and things are ensuing.
Yeah, they're probably going to keep it as two separate storylines going.
I mean, if they do that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, because you're under the impression when this whole thing started that everything is resetting to tell one giant story.
Right, and it seems to be a little more erratic feel that than way. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Because Batman is completely different from Detective...
Right.
Superman's completely different from Action.
Detective, yeah, see, and you're right, because you didn't read the last Detective, did you?
You did. You took him.
Yeah, I did. So. You got to read that, because now there's a whole other... There's Batman's actually got a bit of a part. It's actually getting pretty good, but again, not the same as Batman, not the same as all the Batman cameos. So it's kind of, I don't know, maybe this is all going to take a firmer shape at some point. I'm giving this one a 6. Didn't really love the art. Didn't mind the story. Worried about where it's going. That's about it. Love the fruit bat. 1 point for fruit bat on the rest of the
year. I'll go the same.
This was actually my favorite out of all of them, and I'm giving this one an 8.
8?
You said this was your least favorite.
No, it was Mike's least favorite. This was my favorite. My least favorite was the Titan book.
Right. Which was okay with me. Well, anyways, I think that's a wrap.
That's all of them for the week.
Yeah, and then again, we'll be getting at some of these other, you know, let's just say issues. As the number ones start dropping off to week, with 5 number ones a week, this is getting silly.
It is, but if you're buying them, I'm reading them. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, there you have our Rebirth Week 8. Tune in next week for Week 9.
That's weird.
Already. Don't forget to check out ReviewingRoast.com.
Suicide Squad will be out by the time you're listening to this.
Probably, yeah. So, got a lot of cool stuff. And don't forget, you can write your own reviews there. Instead of just voicing your opinion on your blog that nobody looks at, voice your opinion on our site.
Or go to the Facebook page and just talk shit to us.
Well, talk shit to Mike. Everyone's friends with me. So, that being said, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. Find Mike at Review and Roast. And you can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. Or, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Until then, see you next week.
Take it easy.